Captain Sensible for Lorraine, happy talk and happy birthday to you. For Victoria, Stevie wanted to start, yeah? Why don't you tell us it's your birthday last week, Victoria, instead of waiting until today? You weren't waiting specifically for Feel Good Friday, unless you're telepathic and knew what the theme was going to be. We're always happy to say happy birthday to anybody, really. Well, with one or two exceptions, but don't write in and say it was my birthday 3 months ago. Can you wish me a happy birthday? And more than 100 baby squid and 5,000 microscopic animals are set to be launched to the International Space Station. Now, the creatures, along with other equipment for experiments, is heading to the ISS aboard SpaceX's Falcon 9 rocket. It's hoped the experiments will be able to help scientists understand the effects of spaceflight. The 128 baby bobtail squid will be used as part of research into the effects of spaceflight on beneficial interactions between microbes and animals. The squid have an immune system which is similar to that of humans, and NASA says the experiments could support the development of protective measures to preserve astronauts' health during long space missions. Squids in space!
I bet that's costing a squid or two.
I was going to say there's squids in. Animals, including humans, rely on our microbes to maintain a healthy digestive and immune system. We do not fully understand how spaceflight alters these beneficial interactions, said Jamie Foster, the experiment's principal investigator. And she said the squid will be able to address these important issues in animal health. The squid will be frozen before they return to Earth. That's not very nice, is it? What are they going to do when they get back? Eat them. And they're also joined on the SpaceX rocket by 5,000 tardigrades. They're fascinating, actually, tardigrades. You'll find them on your compost heap if you look closely. They're commonly referred to as water bears. The microscopic animals can tolerate environments more extreme than most life forms can. That makes them perfect for studying how life responds and adapts to extreme environments. It's hoped this information can then be used to understand the stress factors affecting humans in space. Have you looked at tardigrades under the microscope?
Why on earth would I look at tardigrades under the microscope?
Because they're really, really beautiful.
Well, I don't have a compost heap. I don't even know what they are.
Tardigrades, they're microscopic animals, I just said.
Yeah, but when am I going to come one if I don't have a
Well, look
garden?
On the internet. Look up tardigrade. And there's all sorts of images of them.
Okay.
They're really, really fascinating. One of the things we're really keen to do is to understand how tardigrades are surviving and reproducing in these environments and whether we can learn anything about the tricks they're using and adapt them to safeguard astronauts. Yeah, they can. They shut down. If it's really, really hot or really, really cold, they just shut down and play dead.
Okay.
And then they can wake up again later.
Oh,
amazing.
That's quite clever.
Other experiments due to be conducted include a look into whether robotic arms can be operated remotely using virtual reality, along with a study into the production of tougher cotton.
Why are they called tardigrade?
I don't know the answer to that, I'm afraid. I quite like that experiment with robotic arms to be operated remotely at distance. Maybe I could get somebody to do the gardening for me using the robotic arms. You missed a bit there, look.
The Press Review is brought to you by BMW Côte d'Azur.
Yes, there's that story on the front page of The Guardian. If I can get my papers straight. Ministers have moved to tighten Britain's borders as new data suggests the Delta coronavirus variant is much more likely to cause serious illness and is circulating more rapidly within schools. With England's reopening on the 21st of June hanging in the balance, the government removed Portugal from the green list of countries and added seven more countries to the red list, moves that provoked fury within the travel industry and left many holidaymakers in limbo. Portugal, including Madeira and the Azores, was the only mainstream tourist destination Britons could visit without having to quarantine. On Tuesday, these destinations will be moved to the amber list, requiring travellers to self-isolate for 10 days upon return. Grant Shapps, the Transport Secretary, said that as well as rising COVID test positivity rates in Portugal, a difficult decision hinged on worries about COVID variants, particularly a possible additional mutation of the Delta variant.
And in this morning's Parisian, some high schools in France have decided to introduce a 7 to 10 day quarantine ahead of the baccalaureate. This is to limit the cases of COVID. The remaining baccalaureate exams are fast approaching, and to minimise the risk amongst those students that are sitting the exams, some high schools have planned a pre-baccalaureate isolation during which the high school students will have to stay at home. France's Ministry of Education has left the decision up to high school heads.
As we were just talking about with Henk in the Financial Times, global food prices have surged by the biggest margin in a decade as one closely watched index jump 40% in May, heightening fears that inflation, initially stoked by pandemic disruption, is accelerating. The year-on-year rise in the UN Food and Agriculture Organization's monthly index was the largest jump since 2011 as commodity prices surged. The higher inflation will hit poorer countries reliant on imports for staple goods. For richer countries, the cost of raw ingredients accounts for only part of the overall price paid for products at supermarkets and restaurants. But the rise in raw material prices has been so steep that big companies such as Nestle and Coca-Cola have said they would pass on any increases.
And in this morning's Figaro, after the major breakdown of emergency numbers that affected France on Wednesday, a new government crisis unit is being held this morning to take stock of the situation in the presence of the Prime Minister. Referring to the breakdown, which made it impossible to access emergency services in France on Wednesday, the Interior Minister has described the situation as serious and unacceptable, speaking of at least three deaths potentially linked to the incident, which has led to several administrative investigations being launched in several regions of France.
The Press Review, brought to you by BMW, Nice Premium Motors, Bayonne Avenue Cannes and BMW Store Monaco. Boost your business with the Business Drive BMW range. Find all the BMW Business Drive offers at your car dealer.
Done quite well this week, haven't I?
You've done very well. Yeah, and it's all to do with the theme of happiness. A recent study involving people aged between 30 and 55 has come up with the 50 happiest songs of all time. 58% of respondents claim songs from their youth are ones that top their personal list when it comes to songs that make them feel good.
Past the Duchy on the left-hand side.
It's not in the top 50, no. Okay. So all these songs feature in, I've taken the top five of happiest songs.
The Laughing Policeman.
Nope. Question number one. Ranked at number five, this track tells the story of two kids, Tommy and Gina, working to make it on their own despite constant hardships. It struck a chord with America's youth. It was sung by an American band and became their signature tune. It was released in...
Living on a Prayer.
Well done.
Tommy used to work on the docks.
Yes, union's been on strike.
He's down on his luck.
It's tough.
So tough.
Question number two. This song ranked at number three. It was hit for the Bee Gees in 1977.
Well, they had quite a lot of hits in 1977.
Yeah, but come on.
Staying Alive?
Correct. And finally, it's
could
been...
could have been Jive Talking, could have been Heaven, could have been...
Yes, OK. Finally?
Yeah.
It's been claimed by scientists that Queen's Don't Stop Me Now is the happiest song ever due to the beats per minute. And it did come second in the ranking, but it was beaten by which 1977 ELO song that took the top spot?
Mr. Blue Sky.
Well done. That's another hat trick.
Gosh.
Very good.
I would have gone for Living Thin myself, but I'm just a bit odd. 8:25, the Full English Breakfast Show. Happiness, smiles, laughter and fun. Here's the Turtles for David's, the Tottenham fan. I did tell you that when Frank Lampard was sacked, we'd finished above you, David. You wouldn't believe me.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Morning, Pitty.
Good morning.
How are we today?
Fine, thank you.
Go on, it's your turn.
Friday's amongst us best day of the week.
Right. Now, firstly, most importantly, will you be buying shares in AMC today?
There's been whipsawing all over the place, haven't they, AMC? It's been driven higher, of course, by the Reddit community and so forth. And then AMC saying yesterday, I think they're looking to issue shares to take advantage of the share price, and it came tumbling down quite dramatically. So it's a highly speculative part of the market that's being distorted by online trading platforms and online communities, and I think most investors should be very concerned if they are thinking about getting involved in it.
When it comes to something when the company itself advises people not to buy its shares, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's true. The valuations has been quite incredible. Is it 20 billion? It has been around 20 billion. The numbers have been eye-watering in relation to the business, of course. And it's a bizarre scenario. So again, it's probably one to avoid.
Well, they haven't resisted the temptation of selling 11.6 million new shares, though, on the back of the surging prices. So they've, why?
Well, I suppose they're looking to take advantage of it. They're saying if that's how the market's pricing them, then maybe that's the case. I mean, it's something outside the management's control, quite frankly, and I'm not sure even regulators can do a great deal about it, apart from perhaps looking to encourage investors to think a little bit more wisely about it, where they decide to put their money and jumping on bandwagons that could see particularly retail investors come to the party very late and go home with a significant hangover.
Okay, let's look at the wider markets. Wall Street flat, everyone's waiting for the non-farm payroll numbers today.
Yeah, all eyes will be on today's employment report. Labour market seen as a key barometer, of course, of the health of the US economy, given its link to consumption projections. April's report, to remind you, came in significantly below expectations. Some have described it as a historic miss. Just 266,000 jobs created. Headline number, you know, was well down. If you look at consensus, I think the market was looking for a figure closer to 900,000. That was for April. Shortfall was put down to a shortage of labour. That's workers staying at home for fears of the virus and also managing things like childcare. Economic backdrop in the United States has been improving, which should help create jobs. First quarter growth was 6.4%. Forecasts are the US economy could grow by somewhere around 10% in the second quarter. Vaccination rates have been rising rapidly and the US service sector has been opening up. So we do look for that momentum to return. Forecast in the US economy created 675,000 jobs last month, consensus at 663,000. We look for the unemployment rate to hold steady at 6.1%.
Yes, inflation, though, is really worrying investors. And a report in the Financial Times says the global food prices have shot up. So it's really something for governments to think about, isn't it?
Yeah, global food prices have risen to the highest level in a decade, up 4.8% last month. The UN's gauge of world food costs climbed for a 12th straight month in May, its longest stretch in a decade. Drought in key Brazilian growing regions is crippling crops from corn to coffee. Vegetable oil production growth apparently has slowed in Southeast Asia. And global grain stockpiles have been depleted by soaring Chinese demand. The prolonged gains across staple commodities certainly filtering through to store prices. Prices putting pressure on the poorest nations with the least purchasing power. Rapidly rising food costs can also lead to social unrest. We've certainly seen that in the past. And as you quite rightly point out, rising inflation forcing central banks to think about hiking interest rates, which of course could undermine the recovery.
And there's wage inflation pressure as well. See, Mr. Witherspoon has said that he should relax visas for EU workers, having said that kick them all out because of Brexit. Now he wants them back. Who'd have thunk it?
There's a huge shortage of labour, actually. You do find people around the world, as I'm talking about with the April's non-farm payroll figure, that even though economies are reopening, businesses are getting back to normal and starting to operate once again, many of them are struggling to get those workers back into their place of employment. Now, some have found alternative employment, of course, as the jobs have disappeared over the course of the past few months as a result of the pandemic. And others are staying at home. And, of course, in the UK, you do have the impact of Brexit as well.
Well, I think when Tim Martin said take back control, I don't think he meant he would actually have to pull the pints himself.
Yeah, that is true. I quite like him, though. He's a nice guy. It's always interesting to hear his thoughts. Oh, yeah, he's an interesting fella.
Each to their own. And okay. Talking about cock-ups, first you can go to Portugal, then you can't, then you can, then you can't. Travel firms are absolutely up in arms about this.
Absolutely ridiculous, and it was certainly reflected in their share price. Yes, they've saw likes of Ryanair, EasyJet and AIG. I think the share price down roughly around about 5% yesterday. It's after the UK failed to add new countries to the green list and move Portugal from green to amber, raising fears the travel industry may miss another summer. Portugal has been the case in point, of course, and certainly it's half term this week and lots of Henry's friends going to Portugal. And perhaps
on their own.
With their families. And part of the reason perhaps why the government decided not to introduce those quarantine rules until Tuesday was the fact that so many school kids have gone along for half term, and that would have caused absolute mayhem, presumably, if they were forced to isolate for two weeks.
A lot of people are saying that coronavirus levels are a lot lower in a lot of European countries than they are in the UK now, and it's the government's fear of actually exporting the virus overseas again rather than the facts of people bringing it home with them.
Yes, this Indian variant, or can we still call it the Indian variant?
Maybe it's the Delta variant. Delta, yeah.
The Delta variant. It certainly has posed a problem for the reopening plans in the UK. Great debate taking place about whether that headline date of the 21st of June looks realistic for the full reopening of the UK economy and massive relaxation of restrictions, or may have to be delayed by a number of weeks.
And there's this other variant that's originated in the Himalayas as well, and apparently if you catch that, it's an appalling...
That is good, by the way. That is quite good.
Foreign exchanges.
I'm not sure you should be doing it. Pound against the dollar, 1.41 this morning. Euro dollar coming in at 1.21. €1.16 for that British pound this morning.
I'm here till Friday. Try the barbecue.
Boom. Are you ready for it?
I'm firing the barbecue
up
tonight.
What are you cooking up tonight?
I'm going to have some marinated pork chops, a bit of barbecue chicken, a few sausages. What else? I've got some ribs as well. Yeah.
Really? That's nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
Don't remember, curfew, 9 o'clock. Everyone must be at home.
Well, I'll be at home doing a barbecue, so don't care.
What, that's all for you?
Yeah, me personally, yeah.
Dear me.
Thank you very much.
Enjoy.
Talk to you on Monday.
Cheers.
Hang Post and Barclay.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lyce has the top stories across the Riviera.
A two-year-old boy has died in the Vendée during the massive breakdown of emergency numbers in France. An administrative investigation will be carried out by the Regional Health Agency of the Pays de la Loire. Meanwhile, in the Morbihan, the Public Prosecutor's Office has also opened an investigation after the death of a 63-year-old man. Referring to the breakdown, which made it impossible to access emergency services in France on Wednesday, the Interior Minister described the situation as serious and unacceptable, speaking of at least three deaths potentially linked to the incident. According to the network provider Orange, the return to normal began at midnight, but the network remained under surveillance on Thursday morning. This morning, a return to normal has been confirmed in some emergency call centres in some departments, including the Alpes-Maritimes. French Prime Minister Jean Castex is to hold a press conference this morning ahead of a second crisis meeting with the network provider Orange and government officials. In other news, the prefecture of the Alpes-Maritimes has announced its decision to extend throughout the department the obligation to wear a mask until July the 5th in public spaces. Wearing a mask remains optional in parks, gardens, urban green spaces and on all beaches in the department. However, the prefecture recalls that wearing a mask is likely to limit the risk of the virus circulating in public spaces which are characterised by a concentration of people. Police in Mougins have arrested two individuals on Thursday night during a police check. The two were found to be in possession of nearly a kilo of cannabis hidden in their vehicle and were stopped for circulating during the curfew. National strike action is being taken by civil service unions in France. The industrial action is expected to affect many schools today. According to a survey published on Thursday, nearly 6 out of 10 French people disapprove of Emmanuel Macron's current tour of France. The survey also indicates that 61% of French people do not want the current head of state to represent himself for the upcoming presidential elections in 2022. The French president has said that he plans to make difficult decisions this summer and has again refused to confirm if he will seek another 5-year term in what he expects to be a hotly contested presidential election. The president has repeatedly remained secretive about running for the 2022 election, even as rivals including far-right leader Marine Le Pen and right-wing heavyweight Xavier Bertrand announced their candidatures. It still remains to be seen if other candidates, including former Brexit negotiator Michel Barnier and former Prime Minister Edouard Philippe, are to enter the campaign for the presidential election. Meanwhile, a second poll by IFOP has shown that a majority of French want the government to re-examine the pension system. The reform of France's pension system has in the past led to widespread crippling strikes before the health crisis. The reform consisted of a raft of measures, including raising the retirement age by 2 years to 64. Speaking on Thursday, the head of state said that the reform could not go ahead as originally planned. A women's rights march is taking place in the centre of Nice this Saturday. Organisers say that about 5,000 people are expected to attend the demonstration, many travelling from other areas of France and other parts of Europe. It's scheduled to begin at 11 a.m. at Place Messina. Finally, for the first time in the history of French tennis, there are no French players through to the third round of Roland Garros this year. None of the 28 French representatives of Roland Garros 2021 managed to get past the second round.
Riviera Radio, sports news.
Funny, that will start with tennis. World number one Ashley Barty has been forced to pull out of the French Open with a hip injury. The 2019 champion said she felt it was unsafe to continue during her second round match against Magda Linette. There are now only five top 10 seeds left in the women's draw. On Thursday, there were second round wins for defending champion Iga Swiatek and the fifth seed Elina Svitolina. In the men's event, Rafael Nadal set up a third-round meeting with Cameron Norrie of Great Britain after beating Richard Gasquet in straight sets, while 39-year-old Roger Federer beat Milan Cilic in four sets. How does he do it?
Don't know.
Must be something he puts in his coffee. Novak Djokovic is also through to round three after beating Pablo Cuevas in straight sets. Cricket. England fought back on day two of the first test against New Zealand at Lords. The tourists were dismissed for 378 in their first innings, which included a magnificent double century from debutant Devon Conway. In reply, England had reached 111 for two at the close. Oops, Nelson, with Rory Burns on 59 not out and Joe Root on 42. Play resumes at noon French time. Football, the England defender Trent Alexander-Arnold will miss Euro 2020 with a thigh injury. The Liverpool right-back was injured in the closing stages of Wednesday night's friendly against Austria, and a scan has revealed he has a quad tear. He is expected to be out for around 6 weeks. Here's more from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Al Ross at BBC Sport, and Liverpool defender Trent Alexander-Arnold is out of Euro 2020 after a scan revealed the injury sustained against Austria on Wednesday was a tear in his quad. He's expected to be sidelined for around 6 weeks. Our senior football reporter Ian Dennis says there are plenty of Premier League stars on the standby list waiting to replace him in the England squad.
Now, you'd expect the replacement to come from the standby list, of which there are five outfield players: Lingard, Ward-Prowse, Ben White, Ben Godfrey, Ollie Watkins, who of course is a forward. But the trouble is that he has other fitness concerns, so there could be even more withdrawals.
Well, on that subject, the Aston Villa midfielder Jack Grealish has been telling the BBC he's not yet fully fit ahead of the tournament. Grealish played an integral part in England's 1-0 friendly win over Austria, but knows he can be sharper.
It's obviously difficult, you know. I've been out for 3 months. I've only started three games since I've been back. I've only had one 90 minutes, so it obviously takes time, you know. But I'm ready when called upon, and you know, I'll still train as hard as I can, as if I am back in the swing fully.
Belgium striker Christian Benteke has extended his contract at managerless Crystal Palace. The DR Congo-born forward has signed a two-year deal. Chairman Steve Parish called Benteke an integral part of Palace becoming an established Premier League club. Former Arsenal striker Nicholas Bentner has confirmed his retirement from playing at the age of 33. The former Denmark international played for the Gunners for 9 years, scoring 45 goals in 171 appearances. And for more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
In international friendly games last night, the Republic of Ireland were 4-1 winners in Andorra, and Ukraine beat Northern Ireland 1-0. And Formula One, first practice for Sunday's Azerbaijan Grand Prix takes place at 10:30 this morning as Max Verstappen looks to cement his lead at the top of the Drivers' Championship. The Flying Dutchman won here in Monaco 2 weeks ago, and that Baku street circuit may suit the Red Bull once again, although Lewis Hamilton may well have something to say about it. On Thursday, Verstappen said he has to believe that he's the best, adding he's not feeling any pressure. He leads the Drivers' Championship by just 4 points from Hamilton heading into the weekend. Prediction?
Oh, I don't know.
That's not a prediction.
I don't know. Hamilton, I guess.
Really? OK, I'm going for Max again.
Are you going for Max again?
I think he likes that circuit. And in rugby union, there's one game in the Gallagher English Premiership tonight. Sale play Harlequins, while in the Guinness Pro 14 Rainbow Cup, Bulls play Stormers, Connors play Ospreys, and Glasgow Warriors play Leinster.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Accelerate Marine.
For coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Isle Maritime and the Var, the general situation, high pressure, 1,020 millibars over the region. Winds are east-northeasterly, force 3 to 4. The sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint John Cap Ferrat, 1,023 millibars. And the outlook for Saturday, partially cloudy, force 2 to 4 variable winds, slight seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are southeasterly, force 3 to 4. The sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,022 millibars. And the outlook for Saturday, partially cloudy, force 2 to 4 variable winds, slight seas and good visibility.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Accelerate Marine. For enhanced, high-performing connectivity on board your yacht, speak to our expert team today about our VSAT and 4G packages. Visit connectmyyacht.com.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Servibat, the home closing specialist in Nice and Villefranche.
Mainly fine, lights to moderate easterly winds. Top temperature 24 degrees today, overnight lows 16 to 18 degrees with cloudy skies. The weekend partially cloudy in coastal areas, so the risk of some thundery showers inland, highs of 23 to 25 degrees.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Servibat Nice and Villefranche. For 30 years, specialising in home closures, windows, blinds, shutters, reinforced glazing and doors. Feel good at home. Visit servibat06.fr.
Finally,
bare necessity. Experts reveal why you shouldn't sleep naked in a heat wave, and it could actually be making you hotter. Ooh. According to experts, who might have been thinking the wrong approach all this time, as they claim that sleeping naked can actually make you hotter, as going to bed without clothes can worsen your sleep quality. They explain that when you sleep naked, sweat actually collects on the body and then remains there. However, if you're wearing light clothes to sleep in, it soaks up any sweat you have, which can cool you down.
Don't worry about that. Just stick the air conditioning on. Bish, bosh, sorted.
You haven't turned yours on yet, have
not
you?
Not yet. I nearly turned it on the other night.
Did you?
It was hot on Sunday night.
It was warm last night.
Oh, it was all right last night.
Okay.
Still, the click of a button, away I go. No more sweaty nights. Didn't Paul McCartney sing that?
Lonely.
Oh, sorry. You're up to date. The news is on the website, RivieraRadio.mc.